we've left there. I just wanted to share a little bit about the ministry that I'm involved with. Won't be talking much about the direct work that I'm involved in, but talking about really the potential here. And so I work with Lighthouse Harbor Ministries. My wife and I were commended to this work about 12, 13 years ago. And so there's many ministries that are called Lighthouse, so please don't get confused. It's a great name for any Christian ministry, but this one is Lighthouse Harbor Ministries. And so we would be ministering to the crew on board the freighters. And so if you're maybe kind of don't notice the freighters coming and going, if you look at your shoes, if you look at your jackets, if you look at your iPhones, where did they come from? Well, they didn't come from Canada. They came from overseas. So then how did they get here? Well, they arrived on a container somewhere. Or maybe you drive a Japanese car or a European car. Some are made in Canada or U.S., but still most are coming from overseas. So all the Asian cars coming into Canada arrive in Vancouver. All the European cars arrive in Dartmouth. So these are the ships that we go on to and share the gospel with, or we have clubhouses in Vancouver where they can come to every night of the year. There's two of them at different ports there, and there's 21 crew on board. And these crew are international crew. You don't find a Canadian on board. No Canadian would work for those wages under those conditions. 9-month contracts typically. It's a floating prison. But they do get a little bit of shore leave, and of course, COVID was very, very hard on them, not having shore leave for long periods of time, and they would come from very poor countries, and their paycheck, which is generally very small, is not for them, it's for their family. It's for their village. They're helping this cousin go to school, and they're helping out this sick aunt and that. It's a different way of thinking than certainly we would have here. And so these are very dear people to us to share the gospel. And they would come from mainly about 10 different countries, but really they come from over 100 different countries. I have met crew on board, I didn't even know their country existed. And so they come from maybe these little countries, but for them, being a seafarer is a good job. It's not an easy job, but it's a good job. It's a good paying job for them. So this is the work that we do in the Port of Vancouver. But I wanted to share tonight, because I know I'm limited in time here, and I will be speaking further about it. I believe it's going to be on Sunday night at Montague. And we are a ministry full of stories because we are interacting with crew every day. And, you know, people have stories. All their needs and all their situations and sharing the gospel with them. So if you'd like to learn more, we can talk later. We can go for a coffee if it works out, or you can come to Montague on Sunday night. But what I wanted to speak here about is the cruise ships. Now, in Vancouver, we no longer do a cruise ship ministry. But I said on the freighters, there's about 21 crew. On a cruise ship, there could be over 1,000 crew. And so looking at the schedule that the port gave me, there are some days that there are over 2,000 crew are going to be in on the cruise ships. Now, they're not all going to be ashore, and they're not all going to be ashore at the same time, but there's a potential for many, many. And so as I was thinking about this, I was thinking of Romans chapter 10 in verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace to bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So here we know that we have this job, we have this command to take the word of God so they can hear. Because if they don't hear, they're not going to believe. And I was also thinking here of in Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under the basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives a light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Well, since Josh has pointed out the cruise ships that are coming to Charlottetown that I was not even aware of, because my main interest has been in freighters carrying cargo, we are very interested in this. In Victoria, we do a huge cruise ship ministry. And we started it. Lighthouse Vancouver started it. And then when it got running, we asked the local people there to set up their own nonprofit and their own board of directors and operate it there. So they don't report to us, but we are in fellowship with them, and we are assisting each other. And we have a great interest on the crew on board. Many of these crew are coming from countries where the word of God is not freely to be shared. But here we have the freedom. And we want to use this time while we can to share the gospel with them. You know, sometimes on board the freighters, I would say I am not treated very well. Very small percent. Very small. But sometimes I'm not treated well. And my desire is to shake the dust off my feet and keep on moving to the next one. But that's my own immature desire. Because I ask myself, who else will share the gospel with them? How else will they know of the Savior? And so I push myself to go back again, and back again, and back again, praying that one day we will have an opportunity to share the gospel with them, or that they will pick up a tract that has been left for them, and that they would read it, and they would believe it. I have to shock myself, because it's the truth, and realize one day is their last day. And they're either going to be in one of two places. They're either going to be with their Savior in heaven, or they're going to be in eternal judgment. And I need to realize this as I talk to anybody. I was sharing yesterday at NBBI, and I had a little picture there of the memorial out at Peggy's Cove for Swiss Air there. And what does it say there? They have been joined to the sea and the sky. Oh, doesn't that sound nice? It's a lie. They're not with the sea and the sky. They're either in heaven with their Savior or they're in eternal punishment. It's sobering. It's sobering to me. But it's sad enough when the world confuses themselves. It's worse when Christians confuse themselves. And so I challenge myself with this, not to get comfortable, not to think, it's okay, there's tomorrow. We don't know that. We don't know if there's tomorrow. This is from Victoria. For many of the crew members of the ships that visit Victoria Harbor, home is not a place they get to visit very often. The working contracts aboard ships can be from 6 to 12 months at a time. The Victoria Lighthouse Ministry is here to provide them with a place to connect with their families, drink a cup of coffee, find a listening ear, request prayer, and hear the powerful message of salvation through Christ. The 25 season is finished, and we had an amazing year. We welcomed over 10,000 crew visits at the Victoria Lighthouse Center. We look forward to next year starting in April, next month here already, 2026. It's a great open door that we have there in Victoria, and we're very thankful for it. From the cruise ship, that circle there, the tent, is the cruise ship center. From the ship, it looks tiny, but it actually can hold quite a few people. And in there, they find people that are welcome them, that pray for them, that care for them. They receive Bibles. A lot of hard work is done, of course, everywhere. cleaning up, getting the tent ready for the year. And the seafarers face many problems here. Seasickness, homesickness. If you ever ask a sailor if they're ever lonely, every one of them says the same thing, yes. And the guy next to them is lonely too, and so they don't talk about it. Stress, fatigue, sleep disturbances. The cruise ships are not as bad as the freighter. Freighters go through every storm. Cruise ships go around it because the passengers aren't too keen on being rocked back and forth like they do on a freighter here. But this is the front. It's an industrial tent, very welcoming here, nicely decorated, very comfortable. The number one reason they come to the tent is for Wi-Fi. And so as they come and sit down, we have an opportunity to share with them. It's not always easy. They're trying to contact their families. They maybe only have a one-hour break from the ship. They've got to get back. And so we don't want to disrupt their time with their family. But we look for an opportunity. And the good thing about a cruise ship, most of them will be back again next week or 2 weeks from now, all throughout the summer. And so the port here gave me some of these cards with the cruise ship schedule. Do you know you got a cruise ship coming here in 3 weeks? I think your weatherman better get on the job here because cruise ships are coming here already. And this is all the cruise ships that are coming. When I first looked at the schedule, I thought, well, it's mainly September and October here. But actually, it starts in April and it goes into May. There's lots there. So it actually is quite a big cruise ship schedule here. Just some of the people, the lady in the middle, Donna, just making connection with the crew. They have loneliness. One dear lady from Madagascar, she was really very tearful there. Her young children would not talk to her because she had left them. She had left them with her mother, but the kids said, "You've left us." Her mother has no choice. There's no money to be made in many of these countries. I know in the Philippines, which a lot of we deal with there, $10 a day is the average wage. Well, it's just not really possible to live on. So they have to go and do these jobs, but it comes at a great cost. And we're able to comfort them and befriend them with great smiles. One of the men there is a great artist. So he'll sit down across from somebody. Somebody's focused on their phone there doing something. He sits across from them and he starts sketching them. And before they get up and leave, he hands them their picture. Well, they're so thrilled. This is something that he can do that he wants to do for them there. Like I say, you're not going to find any Canadians on board, but many Asians, Africans, Eastern Europeans are on board. English is generally not an issue for us, even on the freighters. I only speak English, and not even that good at that, but there's never an issue communicating with them, or very seldom, not too much there. But we are just looking for opportunities to bring the Word of God to them and to bless them. Bless them with the generosity. To let our good works, they see our good works and glorify our Father. That's our desire. And in Victoria, they also do a great job with all the crew in the port. All those working in the port, whether it's security, or they have these pedicabs, it's like a three-wheeled bicycle, and people get in the back, and some young student there pedals, or they're, you know, like a gerbil on a treadmill there, trying to pedal them around the city of Victoria there. I'm glad I don't have to do that. But they come in to us beforehand for a free cup of coffee and a cookie before they head out for the day. This is the security there, hamming it up for a special treat they had put on for them there. They make friends with these people. That's the desire, is to make friends with them, to care for them. In Victoria, we have Bouchard Gardens, the famous gardens there. The Bouchard Gardens is very kind. They allow crew in for free. And because our people there, they buy year's pass because it's the same as a one-day pass. And so they're able to take them, and they'll arrange with them, and they'll say, okay, next week when you're here on Thursday at 10 a.m., I'll be here with my van, I'll pick you up, and we'll go to Bouchard Gardens. And one man used to give them photography lessons. And another retired doctor, he used to take them to his home afterwards for a barbecue. all looking for ways to bless these dear people, make them feel like we are a home place for them, trying to find friends and to encourage them in the Word of God. The tent is dwarfed by the cruise ships that come in there, but it's mighty in the power of God. When we, when Josh visited in the port, and I've visited in the port here, and we've talked to the people in the port, hoping that there would be a place where we could kind of make a crew lounge. And the crew we know come off, I think they go to Founders Hall, kind of probably hang out everywhere there. And we were suggesting that maybe there would be a place where we could set up and care for them there. I really don't know how they received it, but they made it very clear to me, there is no room right now. There's no room for any place. They said they're talking about expanding it because we know the cruise ship keeps being expanded, the cruise ship season. And so they had talked about a place for the crew. I said, well, would you consider that we would partner with you on this and host the crew and care for the crew? You provide the place and we'll kind of provide the overseeing of it and helping the crew. I don't know really what her thoughts were. She did email me yesterday. I really wasn't expecting it. Said, I talked to the other team there, and we have no place. Thank you very much. I don't know what that means, but that doesn't stop us. That's only what the port says. The port doesn't go that far. And just talking with Josh about some ideas, one thing I know is that the crew want to go shopping. Even though they don't got a lot of money, they like to buy bags of chips. And so you will see that we know that if there's a Walmart near a cruise ship port, when the ship leaves, there's no chips left in the whole place. They have cleaned them out of potato chips because it's a cheap little snack that they can take on board. And so I was checking even the distance from the port to No Frills. And, you know, thought, well, if somebody had a van and put on the van a sticker or something and said, cruise shuttle, and just be out front there. And since the crew are coming back, they'd get to know you and say, I'll drive you over there. Maybe it's just one way if it doesn't work out. It's half an hour to walk, I checked. I didn't walk it, but I checked online. And so it is walkable back. So if they got a ride one direction and had to walk back, it's not the end of the world. And if it worked out, they got a ride both ways. But I always find, and I drive a lot of crew to Walmart and to the mall, they're a captive audience. They can't get out of my car. So I have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. And I have many wonderful times on board. So our prayer is, and the reason I'm back here, there are ships coming and going, there's freighters and there's cruise ships coming and going, and they're not hearing the gospel. And that's the purpose of Lighthouse in Vancouver, and it's the reason I'm back here now for my third or fourth time, is to encourage people to visit on board the ships. We were just down in St. John this morning, and I think you know Paul Robertson. And so his father-in-law, Steve Budd, visits on board the ships. And the Lord just worked it out where we got him started on the first ship. And now he goes back to the port where they load fuel that he used to work in. And he knows everybody there. So his ministry is not just on board the ship. It's to the security. It's to the people in the office. He knows everybody. And so they ask, what are you doing here? So he tells them. And he'll give them a track too. So we're just looking for ways to share the gospel. And as we've said, we're not trying to grow the name of Lighthouse. We're trying to share the gospel. And if the name Lighthouse helps you get into a port, we'll work with you on that. But we're not looking to expand our name. We're looking to share the good news of God's eternal salvation with everybody around. So I would ask that you would pray and you would visit there and look to see how. It's not hard to bless these people. Most of them are very friendly. Third world country people, you know, are typically very friendly. And just having an opportunity, and generosity opens doors. It is the key to opening doors, I find. Just being generous with people. Giving something, even small, will be a blessing to them. A ride to this door, a cup of coffee, a friendly smile, Generosity opens doors. So I know we need to get to prayer here, but I wanted to share that with you. I'll have these cards at the back if you'd like to take it. It's just a little bit about Lighthouse Harbor Ministries here. And so it would be, if you've got questions, I can talk forever about this subject because I'm excited about it. Not because I'm involved in it, but that's what the Lord has brought me to, and it's wonderful to see. Thank you very much.